Hello, hello, my heart-refined friends. I hope you're having a great drive time, jog time, laundry time, whatever time it is. I'm grateful to be with you. Yesterday, we wrapped up the last episode, and that was, the days are running together. Day seven, I think, or six or seven, whatever. But where we were talking about how creation eagerly awaits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. So there's this groaning that is soulless in creation. However, it is submissive to God. What does that mean? What does that even look like? So let's read verses 23 through 25 again. Again, we're in Romans 8. I want to pick up and move quickly through this because I want us to get all of this goodness. This is such, I'm telling you, this is one of my most favoritest things in all the Bible right here as I learn more about creation. It says, not only that, but we ourselves have the Spirit as the first fruits. We also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now, in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. Okay, so in other words, because of the fall of man, mankind was also subjected to the same corruption and misery, just like creation was. Thus, our bellies, us human beings, are full of that groaning. Do you see the difference here, though? Creation has no choice to groan. It is submissive because its creator gave it no choice. However, that very same creator, the creator of everything on the earth and under it, the God outside of space and time, who is completely trustworthy and who is altogether lovely, he was gracious enough to give us a choice. He knew how he created us with fear and wonder. Therefore, the groaning that he put inside of us could only be forged in relationship with him. So here's another, in other words, think about this. He designed all of creation so that he could have relationship with you, with me. Now, I'm going to tell you, if that doesn't lead your heart to this immense amount of reverence and deep devotional love for him, I don't know what else will. I mean, you think about that again. I love these words so much, and I can't say them enough. The God outside of space and time, the God of all creation, the God of who is sovereign, who is perfect in providence and relationship, the God who is completely trustworthy and altogether lovely. And this is not based on just one good experience that I had with him. This is based on biblical record of his pattern, his perfection, his allowance of wonderful victory and wrath, his allowance of great storm and struggle. This God right here, he is the one who has put a groaning inside of you. But even if you don't feel that reverence in this moment, you shouldn't feel shamed. There is the question, if not, why not? And work harder towards that. But the fact is, in his goodness, he says that if you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. So that really, lean in. He will continue to pour himself out on you, and he will open your eyes to the wonders of his love and kindness. And it is true that you will begin a daily journey of reverence that leads to repentance. You hear that? Like, don't feel like you should be able to show up with the entire package on day one. You show up and you say, I'm going to lean into you, and I'm going to seek you today with everything I have of me to everything I know of you, but I want more of you. And then there will begin that daily journey of reverence that leads to repentance. Repentance, again, that wonderful word that is not bad. And repentance will lead to obedience. And obedience leads to the gift of glory and honor and peace. In other words, are also known as a deeper, more full relationship with Jesus himself and treasures in heaven that we cannot even imagine. So, what we do now is we examine our groanings, quote unquote, air quotes here. Do you recognize a groaning deep inside of you that no earthly thing seems to satisfy? We go back to that verse right there. What are our desires? Well, sometimes our desires give way to sin, and sin gives way to death. And that's the toxic angle of our desires. But do you feel something that's different inside of you? Like, you want to know God. You want to. But you want to more. Like, you want to read your Bible more. You want to listen to worship music more and cut out the secular music. But you feel that little pouring out in your spirit, and you need Him to satisfy, because there's really nothing on this earth that will do that for you. Could that spirit of complaining and dissatisfaction, or a spirit of lust — and lust doesn't just mean sexual, y'all. It can mean your desire to have what somebody else has, a body, a husband, a car, a job, or children who act right and wear the pretty bows, a house. Anything. Could it be a spirit of depression, of gluttony, of laziness? Could it be a love of affliction or addiction? In other words, that spirit that has long held you, could that just be a perversion of a beautiful longing? So here I talk about that sweet longing. You just want, but you keep pulling back towards that desire that leads to sin, that gives way to death. But see, that beautiful longing that God so generously placed inside of you, it has a different path. The Lord has to lead you. Is it possible that you experience emotional turmoil and spiritual confusion because you have misunderstood hope to be something you should be able to see in this life, such as material or relational wealth? So think about this. Here you are. We have defined hope as material and of this world. And hope, again, this is something that looks different. It is not of this world. And God puts a craving inside of us for hope. So recognize something right here. When our salvation is secure in Jesus, we have access to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And with that, our longing is not just an empty ache. It is help. And we have a choice to eagerly wait. Eagerly wait. I feel like that's a contradiction in terms for most women. Eagerly wait. Oh my gosh, how do we do that? Because waiting, we as women say most often, this is the worst thing possible. I don't want to wait. I shouldn't have to wait. Shouldn't God just do for me? Because I show up, because I keep the dishes done and the laundry checked. Or even if I don't, I send my kids to school, or I homeschool, or I do the things. And in the meantime, I'm saying prayers. I go to church. I sing in the choir. I make the casseroles. Or even if, Lord, I show up and I do my quiet time, and I really do believe with all of my heart that you should do good for me because I believe in you. What if it's not just an arrogant spirit, but just a really, that's what we believe. And that's not what God is calling us, or what He means by eagerly waiting. No, we wait with patience. We wait with a gentle, tender spirit. And not just expecting God to do for us, but expecting God to do what only He can do. And that's to set us free from us. So I'm going to save the next part and how we move into that, and how we actually live in that eager expectation and for the next podcast. But I hope that today, as you listen to this, that you are challenged in your spirit, and you check that stuff about you, that groaning inside of you, and you ask the Lord if very possibly your anxiety, your depression, this overwhelming feeling of scatter and confusion and frustration and brain fog, if all of that is simply a blessing from Him because He's showing you that you've taken the groaning down the wrong path. But He's got a way for that to go. And it's got a beautiful, I'd say, symphony behind it, the groaning symphony. So, we'll go deeper as we dig in the next one. So, anyways, I hope that you are blessed, and I can't wait to talk to you next time. Bye.